Father, you open the windows of heaven. You give sustenance that is life, that is energy.
That's right.
That is strength to overcome.
Amen.
Father, we do pray for the impartation of your word today. Father, that it would be bread.
Hallelujah.
Bread for us, O God, in this hour.
Amen.
Father, you see that which we need, each and every one of us. Father, we pray that that portion, that substance, would be food indeed and meat.
Oh, yes.
For us, O God, to eat and to have strength for the days to come.
Mm.
Father, we just pray for your reality to touch each and every one of our lives. We may lay a hold of that which we have been called to.
That's right.
We pray it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We were singing this morning about the blood of Jesus, or the blood. You know, blood is essential to live. If we don't have it, we're not living.
Yeah.
In the natural, there's no flow. You can have it, but there's no flow. It's moot point.
Yep.
As it is in the natural,
amen.
So is it in the spirit. And the truth of the matter is, the vehicle that is to contain the blood,
that's right,
is the body.
Mm-hmm.
So when we speak about it and sing about it, we're in fact what we are doing is we're inviting that flow,
yes,
to throw, flow through anybody.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But before we can have a body, we need to have a church. You understand what I'm saying? Now, it's not the church as what has been defined as church today. It's the church that God defined for us as early as Genesis. Hallelujah. And the whole point of church is to be a temporary arrangement.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Until the church comes to a place of maturity and begins to function as a body.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
So I want to talk to you about the church. And there are two questions that I ask. The first is, who is she? And the second is, what is her purpose? Hallelujah. Brother George was laying down some principal things last night. And it really began to click with me, and that there was a certain continuity that I began to pick up in reference to the things that I have been meditating upon and expounding upon. Hallelujah. All of this really began in February in Ethiopia, and where we were at in our place of staying, we had a shortage of water. Is that it was not readily available. It was available, you had to go and get it, but the modern convenience that we're so accustomed to, it was on and then it was off. More times off than on. So there was a certain thought that began to drop into my heart with respect to this particular natural circumstance and how applicable it is to my life, and I believe can be to yours as well. Hallelujah. There are two chapters in Genesis, I believe, that are significant chapters. It's not disregarding the rest of the book of Genesis, but in terms of the plan of God, the thought of God, the desired results that God is working for, and that is chapter 12 and chapter 24. I don't think it's happenstance. I certainly don't think it's coincidental that when they separated the Bible into chapters, chapters by number, and the chapters subsequently into verses by numbers, that certain verses, certain chapters, just so happened to land on certain numbers. Hallelujah. I believe the meaning of numbers and their application is supporting evidence to the thought, to the intent, and to that which God is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Chapter 12 is the number of divine government. It's also the number of completion. So it's not without significance that in chapter 12, starting in verse 1, God begins to set the stage as to separating a people unto himself. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And you have principally the first verse, the Lord speaking to Abraham to get thee what? From out of thy country, from among thy kindred, and from thy father's house. Hallelujah. A commandment which has a three-dimensional working out, you understand. As it was in the natural, as a commandment to Abraham, so it also is to us in the spiritual form, with the intent that as we adhere to it, as we obey it, as we work, as we are coming to working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, it will bring us to the fullness of that reality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So chapter 12, the significance thereof, but I want to talk about chapter 24. Hallelujah. 24 is not an insignificant number. It's talking about the priesthood. Hallelujah. Now, it's very interesting that just so happens in the 24th chapter of Genesis is also the story of the inception and the idea and the reality of a church. Hallelujah. Because it's the story of Abraham who commissions Eleazar as the chief servant in his house to find for Abraham's only begotten son, a wife by which there might be a continuation of a righteous generation.
Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the type and shadow, in that Abraham, in this case, is a type of God. And Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ, as in Isaac being the promised son to Abraham, the only begotten son, hallelujah, of a freeborn, being freeborn, hallelujah. So Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ, so then that leaves Eleazar as a type of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Rebecca becomes a type of the church.
Hallelujah.
But there's some very significant and I believe critical aspects about this story. Hallelujah. We call it a story, it's kind of a weak description in that it puts it in a historical sense. Hallelujah. The way God preserved His Word, I mean, He could have wrote down in an instructional format as to what should be what and how it should be, you understand, but I don't think it would have made it through the ages under man's oversight and keeping. Something would have been changed, something would have been altered, something would have been lost. Hallelujah. In reference to the integrity of that word. So instead He wrote it through the lives of human beings. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Do you think He has stopped writing in the lives of human beings? Hallelujah. So as much as He has done here, as we can read about it, so much more He wants to do likewise in my life, in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Living epistles to be what? Read of all men. Hallelujah. 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 So that somewhere down the line, as the reality of God is, should be, and is worked into our lives, somebody will have the benefit of flipping through your pages.
Yes.
And gleaning and reading of the account of faith.
Hallelujah.
Of which you and I worked out.
Amen.
Laid hold of. Hallelujah. Come on. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 isn't just reserved for those who are written in Hebrews chapter 11.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Did you notice in the last verse, it left like a continuation?
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Sometimes they make a film, and there's more story to the film, so they leave you hanging at the very end as a continuation, to be continued. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 11 is written the same way.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That they without us cannot be made perfect.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So there's a necessity for a continuation of chapter 11 to be worked out, to be made reality, and recorded.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For the sake of eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So in the 24th chapter of Genesis, now, as being in the 24th, so the overriding thought, the overriding objective, if you will, from what we then read in the 24th chapter, is to come to what God talks about in Revelation as king and priest.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. But there's a process, there's a due order, there's a divine order, of which we are able to obtain and come to that position of reality. Hallelujah. So it says here, let's see, well, I'm going to start at verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Hallelujah. Abraham laying down some very specific instruction. Hallelujah. And it's based on certain principles. Hallelujah. And it's very specific in where it is that Eleazar should acquire a wife for Isaac, the son.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, it was interesting. I thought, you know, he defines where not to take it, right? As from among the Canaanites of whom I dwell. Now, if you dig on that a little bit, it's very interesting. The Canaanites come from Cana, who is the son of Ham. Hallelujah. But Ham is the one who transgressed against his father.
Right.
But Cana, Ham's son, is the one whom Noah cursed.
Yes.
And said to him, servant of servants shalt thou be.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So it's very possible Abraham had a knowledge of this history, and there is a principle in all of that, you understand, that which he should choose for his son should not come from those that has been, that is under that position of curse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's a history as far as the Canaanites concerned. There's a history as far as Ham is concerned. Hallelujah. Because from Ham the world was given the structure that we have today. Hallelujah. Because principally you have Nimrod, who came from that lineage.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But in the aspect of cursing Canaan, he blessed Shem and Japheth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Which is where ultimately Eleazar found Rebekah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
It's coming from the lineage of Shem, I believe it was.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Shem was the oldest, was he not? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there's something, there's an underlying principle in all of this. Hallelujah. Abraham knew for which he had been called. And the manner of which he should now conduct his life.
That's right.
And what it is he was to be in adherence to.
That's right.
The principle of righteousness.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that principle is in the aspect, as the Bible says, and Abraham believed God, and it was what? Counted unto him as righteousness. Hallelujah. James says that it was imputed to him as righteousness. Hallelujah. In other words, that means that something was given to him as he obeyed God that he did not have before. Hallelujah. And so in the aspect of him moving on the basis of the word of God that God spoke to him it became righteousness before God. Hallelujah. So when it came time in that he should find a wife for his son Isaac, it could be nothing less than of the same kind. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's the same principle that you find in Genesis chapter 1. When God made the things he made, he said that they what? will reproduce after their own kind. Hallelujah. So in other words, those that were of Cana and the Canaanites were not the same kind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Of that which Abraham by faith was desiring to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore the necessity to go to where it would be the greatest opportunity to find the same kind. Hallelujah. So Rebecca then begins to represent for us the same kind.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That is appropriate as an individual to become the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware, thou that bring not my son thither again. I got it. Hallelujah. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Hallelujah. Amen. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of this my oath, only bring not my son thither again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, the son was freeborn.
Mm.
Hallelujah. He was freeborn in reference to the fact that Abraham obeyed God and now was living in a place by faith. Hallelujah. Of which God had promised to give to him. Hallelujah. It works in this respect that Jesus Christ, in whom we believe, even though we have not yet seen him, should he come down again from heaven to make himself visible so that we should believe him? Or is it that we believe him in faith that he is, and that I would want to be prepared as a bride to meet him? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But you know, it's interesting, it's a free will choice, it's not a have to. The opportunity to become part of the Church of Jesus Christ is a free will choice.
Yes.
Right? Hallelujah. As it were, and it's defined here, it says, it peradventure, she is not willing to follow, then you are released. Right?
That's right.
Hallelujah. Here's a thought for you. There is a story in the Bible that this does define a church that did not want to meet.
Yes.
And be brought before the king.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about?
Vashti.
Hallelujah. Vashti, right? Hallelujah. In Esther, well, let's look at a few things here. Hold on, I'm on this page right here. Thank you, though. In Esther chapter 1, starting in the 10th verse, it says, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bidsa, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagatha, Zithar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princess her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. Fair enough. Hallelujah. I believe the church, the true church, truly is a sight to see.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know how wonderful my wife looked on that special day.
Amen.
You understand what I mean? Hallelujah. And that's just probably a very limited understanding. So how much more from God's perspective when he really sees the true church?
Amen.
That his heart isn't excited.
Hallelujah.
And the beauty.
Oh yes.
Huh? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Fair enough. Hallelujah. Did you notice how many chamberlains that were sent to request Vashti's presence before the king? Seven? Why seven? Why not six? Wouldn't one suffice? I mean, the message from the king is a message from the king, regardless of who it comes from. Right? Hallelujah. I believe it is. I mean, here again, the word of God written through the lives of human agents. Hallelujah. So as you rest, then we can conclude, is a type of God. Vashti is a type of the queen, or the church, right? Hallelujah. That is being requested by God to come before God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't think it's any significance that it was on the seventh day, right? Isn't there a time allotment and a time frame for which God sets? And at the end of that time,
that's right,
all of his work is to be what? Finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there was seven chamberlains sent, right? So when Vashti refused the king, it was not just the king in of itself that she was refusing. Do you understand? What she was refusing was the due order by which was sent to her to ask her to come before the king. Hallelujah. Where else do we find the number seven that is pertinent to you and I? And if we want to come before and into the presence of God, we also must go through that due order.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes.
Isn't there seven pieces of furniture as laid out in the tabernacle?
Amen.
And do you realize that without this due order, we will not come to the presence of God? Because where was the presence of God? When God came to visit man, where did he come? He came down in between the cherubs. Where was that? In the Holy of Holies, which is our intended destination, is it not? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the true church of Jesus Christ will have respect unto the due order of which we have been called. Don't you understand? There's a message. There's a message that has come from the king that
Amen.
Is requesting the queen or the church to come before the king.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 And there's a due order that if we want to come to that position or that place of being before the king in his presence,
that's right,
that we ought to have respect unto it and to begin to, you know, and it's more than just, yeah, I know about that. Because each of these are designed to be interactive.
Yeah.
Come on. Hallelujah. How appropriate for our day and age. Because our technology is becoming more and more what? Interactive.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
So there is a choice that I think is being defined for us. We can either find ourselves associated with Vashti, because she was involved with what? Things. Right? Hallelujah. She had her own program. She had her own going. And you notice it was centered around the women.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church has not been called that it might serve itself. The church has been called that it might serve everybody else.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have a choice in the respect in reference to Vashti, but we also, or we have a choice in this case, as far as Vashti is concerned, in Esther. Right? Hallelujah. Because in the wake of what Vashti did, it was irreversible.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That means in the time frame of God, in the business of God, in the allotment that God has given the church to be the church, to become to a certain place of maturity, if it does not come to that place of maturity and chooses instead to do something else, it is
irreversible. That's right.
Hallelujah. It really harkens back to the word 2 years ago, 3 years ago. The old house and the new house. Hallelujah. And that it was the season and the time to choose between which house. Now, the interesting part about those houses is that visibly from the outside, they were exactly alike.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it was not something you could understand by looking at it from the outside, you understand. But it was something that you had to begin to discern.
Yeah.
To know that there indeed was a difference. And the difference is that one was being called the old, and the other was being called the new. Hallelujah. But in the aspect of choosing one or the other, there was a finality in that choice. Hallelujah. It was irreversible.
Yeah.
So that as we begin to choose on an individual basis, the opportunity for the other was taken away. Huh?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So, you know, the question that you have to ask yourself is, which house do I want to be in? You understand? Hallelujah. So in the aspect of what Vashti did, it became irreversible.
Hallelujah.
And the wisdom. Now, you go on and you read there in Esther. It talks about, and this was interesting, Brother George, with the Issachar, you were saying that they knew the time?
Yes.
Okay. In the wake of what Vashti did, Ahasuerus had 7 princes, of which he consorted with,
yes,
who, as the word says, knew the time.
Yes.
Let's find it.
Verse 13.
Yes. Let's start in verse 12. But the queen Vashti, remember I was talking about the number 12 and the significance? 12 being the number of divine government, 12 being the number of completion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Interesting that at the time when completion should be, Vashti decides to rebel against the king and what? Forfeit her opportunity to be part of the completion.
Yeah.
But the queen, this is verse 12, Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlain. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Verse 13, then the king said to the wise men, what? Which knew the time, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew the law and judgment. Hallelujah. So he consorted. He consorted for those that knew the time, and out of that council, from the, out of that meeting, it was determined, let there be found another, and so that that the estate which was Vashti's might be given to another. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I would much rather be found in Esther, you understand, as the type and the shadow that she is, than to be found in Vashti, hallelujah, as one that has been put out of the former estate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so let us look into some of the characteristics and the character that defines who the church is. Hallelujah. Remember, I asked two questions. Who is she? And what is her purpose? Right? Hallelujah. Who she is defined by her character. Right? Hallelujah. You have working relationships with people, you know, in life. And you know who they are by their character. They're either of an upright disposition and somebody you can work with, somebody you can trust, or there's somebody, well, I'm not so sure. You know, you understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Okay, so started coming back in the 24th chapter of Genesis, verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of the master and departed, for all the goods of the master were in his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Hallelujah. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that the women should go out to draw water. Hallelujah. You know, it's interesting that you look back in Genesis, and is it the fifth day, I believe, God created the sun and the moon. Is that
fourth day?
Is it the fourth day?
Yeah.
Okay, fourth day. He laid out certain he made a certain decree. And when he made the sun and when he made the moon, it had to function within those parameters, right? Hallelujah. He said, let us make two great lights and stars for the firmament of the heavens, right? One light is to rule the day, and the other is to what? Rule the night. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at the word rule, it means, it's also translated as, I believe it's government, dominion. Let me see here, I wrote it down. It's translated in different places as dominion, as a form of government, right? Hallelujah. So it defines, when it speaks of rule, it speaks of the thought you would associate with would be correct. To have a position of authority over. Right? Hallelujah. Now, the sun was designated for the day, but the moon was defined and designated for the night. Right? Hallelujah. Now, as far as the natural moon is concerned, it in of itself does not have any light, right? But the light, the reason we can see the moon is because it is reflecting the sunlight back down upon us, thereby giving us light, right? But the thing that I'm driving at is the decree. He created the moon that it should rule through the night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in other words, the night means the darkness. Hallelujah. And if moon is also a type of the church, right?
Yes.
Moon is the beginning stages, the inception, of which the church starts at.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because you go into Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, you begin to see the picture.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so he designated to the church that the church should have a position of authority by which to rule in the midst of the darkness.
Amen.
Until the breaking of the day.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's interesting that as it's recorded here in the 24th chapter of Genesis, that it was at the evening,
yes,
in which the women came to the well.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So there, the woman is a type of the church, and at the beginning of the night, she's coming to a place to begin to draw the water, right? Hallelujah. There's water. Hallelujah. Water is a type of the Word of God. Hallelujah. So therefore, as she draws the water, it is the essence. Just consider water in the natural. How long can you and I go without any water before it becomes critical? It's not very long, is it? 48 to 72 hours. Hallelujah. Before your body begins to shut down for the lack of water. Hallelujah. So we can definitely emphatically say that without water, there would be no life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, if it is in the natural, how much more pertinent do you think it is for the life of the church?
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. If she has no water,
yes,
she's finished.
Yeah, that's right.
You understand? She's finished. Hallelujah. And she's finished. And that means that the darkness, now remember, she's drawing it at night, at the evening, or the beginning of the night. So it's sustenance to carry them through the night to the next day. Right? Hallelujah. Consider the hour in which we are in now, and how dark is it? It underscores the necessity for the church to draw
water.
The water.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Okay, so here he comes to the well. Now, the Bible is not happenstance. It's not coincidental, and it's certainly not written like a children's storybook. You know, fabricate a story, have certain details to captivate the mind, and engross the reader, and they give a nice little story. Right? Hallelujah. That what I'm driving at, the detail of which is recorded, it has some meaning.
Yes.
There's something behind it. There's a thought. And it's God that gives us the light with respect to His Word. You know, you read your Bible, You read a scripture one day, and a thought occurs to you on the basis of the scripture. 2 weeks later, you read the same scripture, and a what? A deeper thought, another thought. Something you never saw before, yet it is the same scripture. Hallelujah. Because the word is so multidimensional, multi-layered, because God is such a multiple entity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why it takes all of us. You understand?
That's right.
It takes a body. Hallelujah. Because when you're looking at me, you're seeing the framework or the oneness of all of me, but you're not seeing all of the little individuals that define me, that make me be me before you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The detail in is the ten. There's a significance in the ten commandments. Now, the word says that Eleazar was over Abraham's house, and all that Abraham had was at his disposal and his discretion. So, Eleazar. Now, Eleazar did not come to be in that position without a testimony of something being worked in his life, right? By experience, by tribulation and hard trial. I mean, is not the greatest lessons you learn from the mistakes you made? Hallelujah. I won't do that again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in his preparation in his preparation to fulfill the task which he has been given, he's estimated. What do I need to get me to my final destination?
Amen.
Right? Let me ask a question. In the task that was given to Eleazar, what was the final destination? What is the final destination? Is it to get to the well? Or is it not only to get to the well, but also to complete the journey and return home again? That's right. That is the final destination. So he's going out in one way, in one form, but he's returning again another way and another form. Right? Coming back with that which he has acquired. Hallelujah.
That's right.
So he estimates, I don't know how he did it. It doesn't really matter. What matters is the significance of 10. Hallelujah. And by his estimation, he needed 10 camels to acquire this bride for Isaac. Hallelujah. Now, he has come to this place of the well, and knowing the task that needs to be fulfilled, he has a little communication between him and the Lord. Hallelujah. You see that which has been given to me to do. I need a sign. I need a confirmation as to who it is. Should be the one that I return with for my master Abraham and his son Isaac. So verse 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Hallelujah. I like the fact that the well was without the city. and then leave the city to go to the west. Hallelujah. If I understand correctly, our whole modern society in reality comes from Nimrod. The whole idea of city in of itself comes from Nimrod. Hallelujah. The whole thought, the concept even of skyscraper, you know where it originates from? It originates from the Tower of Babel. Because that's what the Tower of Babel was. It really was kind of the first skyscraper, if you will. Hallelujah. So there's a thought there, you understand. When we receive the blood of Jesus Christ, it is calling us to come out of the society.
Yes.
The system, if you will. The structure of which this world is fashioned after.
Amen.
And to find that well.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That God has provided.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And begin to draw water. Okay. Verse 30, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. Verse 14, let it come to pass that the damsel whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give my camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness to my master. Alright. You know, there's a progression. It started with Abraham instructing Eleazar, and he set for Eleazar a certain criteria in the aspect of acquiring for a wife. Now, Eleazar being in full compliance to the instruction of his master is executing those directives. Hallelujah. But now Eleazar is refining he's staying true to the principle, but he's refining the criteria that has to be met. Hallelujah. Now, mind you, this is communication between him and God. It's not a letter he sent out. It's not an email. It's not a, brethren, this is my thought. You understand what I'm saying? It was a private communication. Hallelujah. Verse 15, and it came to pass, before he was done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Hallelujah. This is where the Bible begins to define the character of what the church is supposed to be. Hallelujah. You see, the pitcher upon the shoulder speaks of the occupation, from God's perspective, of what the church should be doing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, the pitcher is designed for what?
To
acquire water, and then to what?
Carry
the water to that place of destination. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So if you and I want to be part of the true church of Jesus Christ, then we begin to see what our job description should be, what our responsibility should be, first and foremost. Hallelujah. I don't know, have you ever, I'm sure you've heard it, Brother DeSeel would say, what we are doing now in the natural, you know, individually speaking. We all have a certain trait, we all have a certain ability to do something. Right? But the truth of the matter is, in the aspect of doing it, we really should just be moonlighting. Because our true calling,
that's right.
Our true election is defined in The church is.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we see here with Rebecca, she begins to define for us who, what her purpose is. Hallelujah. To carry water. Now water is a type of the Word of God, right? Hallelujah. Now it isn't just any word as far as the Word of God is concerned, but there is a what? Due order. Can we say divine order? With respect to the distribution of that word. Hallelujah. Remember, Vashti refused, was not just refusing the king to appear before him, but she was refusing the order.
That's right.
Of which, at that time, was the proper order. Hallelujah. Verse 16, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water from my pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Now remember the communication between Eleazar and God. And here comes Rebekah, who fulfills word for word. Come on. Hallelujah. Where did that come from? Isn't it not conceivable that God, in turn, put something on her heart to fulfill the exact word of which... you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
When the word, this apostolic word, came to you and I, did not something speak to you?
Yes.
That you said, this is the word?
Okay.
I don't understand it in the entirety of what it is, but I just know, this is the word.
Okay. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So in her her acquiescing and submission and her to offer what she did really speaks about the heart of the servant.
Amen.
And the willingness to serve.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alright. So, you see the pitcher of which she's carrying on her shoulder defines the occupation for which the church has been called. Right? Hallelujah. This is where the significance of 10 and 10 camels comes into play. Let me ask a question. How much water do you think she needed to draw in order to give the camel drink?
Only about 50. Not 50.
10 camels full.
I mean, should we do the math? I mean, figuratively, I mean, estimate.
Yes.
I mean, one camel, it drinks, you know. I mean, well, first we need to discuss whether we should do it in gallons or liters. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, let's say we figure it out, right? And then we end up with a useless number. You know why? Because that's not the answer I'm looking for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not a number or to determine how much is needed. Is to do it to draw as much as is needed.
That's right.
That's right. In other words, to finish the task for which you have started.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Because it says, verse 19, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw also water for the camels also, until what?
That's right.
They're done drinking. Hallelujah. So you see, the responsibility of the church is not only to carry water, hallelujah, but to carry as much water as is needed. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how much is needed?
That's right.
What is the number 10? Number 10 is the number of the law, right? We could say ordinal perfection, right? But also, you'll find number 10 in the tabernacle. Okay, walk with me.
Yes.
I come through the gate. I'm now in the outer court. And I'm just standing before the... I'm standing before the sanctuary. Holy place, holy of holies, right? Mm-hmm. How tall is that sanctuary?
Ten cubits.
It's 10 cubits tall, right? But does not the sanctuary also depict the body of Christ? Is that not the representation of the body of Christ? Because if you break the sanctuary apart into its pieces, what do you get? You get boards, right?
Yes.
You get a bunch of boards.
Yes.
Come and do the math for me. 48 boards. You get 48 boards, dimensionally wise, that are a cubit and a half by 10 cubits in length.
Oh.
Hallelujah. So what it's talking about is the expectant desire, the expectancy of God for you and I to come to a place of maturity. Right? Hallelujah. The word says that you are to receive what? The sincere milk of the word that ye what? May grow thereby. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in reference to the 10 camels and the giving of the water for those 10 camels, it's talking about you and I, as the church, to draw as much water as is needed until we all come to a place of maturity. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh boy, I had a thought. It ran away on me. Oh, I know what it is. Thank you. But then we see that she is being defined with a threefold purpose in the aspect of Rebecca coming to the well with Rebecca. That is to draw the water, carry the water, and to deliver the water.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's in each and every one of those, there is a position, there's a part that each of us play individually in the fulfillment of those things. Hallelujah. Now, it's between you and God as to what that role is. Hallelujah. But the important thing is whether or not that is the priority in your life. That is the priority in my life. Hallelujah. Because we, unfortunately, have things upside down.
Right.
We tend to take care of what we are on the horizontal first, And then take care of God's business second.
That's right.
Hallelujah. God is wanting to write it up, right side up. So that our lives become dedicated to take care of His business first.
That's right.
For a venture, He'll take care of ours. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so she brings her response to the request. She brings the confirmation that Eleazar is looking for.
Amen.
Which brings Eleazar to the next stage, the next step, the next stage of fulfilling this quest. Right? Hallelujah. So you read there, and you find out that he gave her something. Right? The half shekel weight of an earring, and then 10 shekel weights of bracelets for the wrist. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, here again, detail. All in the details. Hallelujah. There's the truth of the matter, the truth of the situation. Watch. Is in the details. he gives to her a half shekel weight of an earring. Now, when I looked into this, the word is very specific in that it defines it as being just one earring. Let's see, let's read here in 21, 22. And the man wondered at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels were done drinking.
Yeah.
See the trial period? just do some self-inspection. Have I carried the sufficient amount of water? You understand what I'm saying? That God has given me to do so that I can also receive the same assessment. Right? Because it says he held his peace until. Right? Hallelujah. And it came to pass, as the camels were done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekel weight of gold. Hallelujah. So you see now there's that aspect of a divine impartation. Gold is the nature of God, right? That is the thing of which we are after, is it not? That's the thing that we want to acquire. When you look at the structure of the tabernacle, you look at the boards, you don't see the boards, do you? What do you see? You see the gold for which the boards are covered. Hallelujah. So that is the thing of which we are wanting to acquire. So God gives us a little deposit. Gives us a little down payment, if you will. Hallelujah. That will help us to acquire the full measure of which we desire to have. Hallelujah. So he gives this golden earring. Now, you skip with me over into the 47th verse of the same chapter. Eleazar is reaccounting again to her family the sequence of events. And he says, and I asked her, and she said, and said, whose daughter art thou? And she answered, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, which Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face, and the bracelet upon her hand. Now, in this reference, in this particular scripture, the word for face is the same word for nostril in Genesis, when it is recorded that God breathed into Adam's nostril and Adam became a living soul. Hallelujah. So it seems as though there was perhaps some custom or another that there was an earring that was worn on the nose. Hallelujah. Now, it's not the custom that I'm interested in. It's the placement. One, that it's gold. And two, that it wears its place on the nose. Right? Now, consider the faculty of your nose and what it does for you in the activity of who you are.
That's right.
Is it not discernment?
That's right.
You smell smoke in your house. What do? You begin to investigate because you are discerning something isn't right. Right? Hallelujah. So there's an impartation that God would give to the true church in the form of and the capacity to discern.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And I think the first thing that she has to discern is who she is.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. When she begins to understand who she is, then the conviction of what she should be doing should also be working. Hallelujah. 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 So there is that endowment to give to the church the capacity to discern. Hallelujah. Now, when you consider this half shekel weight, again, detail. Not coincidental, not happenstance, not just some number, but it's very specific in application. Right? Hallelujah. So when you think of the half shekel, it's simply taking a whole shekel, dividing it in two, right? And having the half of the value of the whole. So, I don't know, I'm sure in the denomination of the pound, you have the pound, right? You can break the pound down in what? Smaller denominations. But if you get the right number of those denominations together, they equal what? The pound. Hallelujah. The half speaks of you and I being exercised in rightly dividing the word of God.
Hallelujah.
Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because when you put the two halves together, you get the value of the whole. Right?
Right.
Hallelujah. Because if I am over here and I'm looking and studying and I discover something and the value of it, whatever it may be, and you over there looking and studying and all of a sudden you discover something and the value of it, what happens when the church comes together?
Amen.
You get the value, the collective value of it together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Timothy says, the scripture says, a workman, what? That needeth not be ashamed.
What?
Rightly dividing. Wait a minute, let me quote this. Timothy, right? The 2 Timothy?
2:15.
But study to show thyself approved unto God. Okay. Hallelujah. So the true church, by definition of this half shekel weight, right? Because if it's talking about discernment, there is some investigation that one needs to apply
yes.
in order to confirm what you're discerning.
Oh, yeah.
Is that not true?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't just go, oh, smells like smoke. Okay. While the back half of your house is on fire. No, you investigate, right? So you study to show thyself approved unto God. The same way, Brother George, you were talking about one come in your midst, and though he read you like a book, it may not be the Spirit of God. Therefore, we need a sharp sense of discernment to be able to discern whether it is God or not.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I can see certain things that you may not see, and vice versa. Hallelujah. But as I would, what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. But there's something else about the half shekel, and it's sort of hidden, in that it also bears the number 10, or you can associate the number 10 with it. Hallelujah. Look in your Bible, and you will find out that the shekel, first of all, is the official currency of the sanctuary. Come on. So that means all of the activity associated with the sanctuary, it was measured by so many shekels. Correct?
That's right.
It speaks about the life that we have, and that it is not our own. Right?
Yes.
As what does the word say? We are bought with a price. We are not our own. In other words, God has made an initial investment and will continue to do so, but he's expecting a return on his investment.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hence, the necessity of an official currency associated with the sanctuary. Hallelujah. But like any currency, your currency or my currency, you can take the currency and it is broken into smaller denominations. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, the denomination, so you have the shekel as the primary denomination, right? And then you'll find out that there is the gerah, which is a smaller denomination for the shekel. And it takes 20 gerah to make one shekel. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Now remember, I said the number 10 is also associated with the half shekel weight of an ear. Okay, you follow me?
Yes.
20 gerah make one shekel. Well, how many gerah would it take to make half a shekel?
Oh.
Ah, you got it. Hallelujah. I'm going someplace. Okay?
Amen.
10 camels, you have the number 10. In the half shekel weight of an earring, you also have the number 10. Hallelujah. 10 and 10 is what? 20. Right? Did you know 20 is the number of expectancy? Hallelujah. All right, here's a thought. Eleazar was commissioned with a tax, correct? So he took of the resources that was at his disposal to get him to the well. But there's a twofold purpose in the criteria that he set, of which Rebekah fulfilled. In her act to give water to the camels and to fulfill the criteria, she demonstrated that she was one. Right? But also, She gave the means of sustenance to the camels and then make the return journey.
Right.
Come on.
Amen.
I don't know what the distance was. It doesn't really matter. From where Abraham was to where the well was. In that journey, the camels were using up their reserve
capacity.
And therefore, they were in need to be replenished in order to make the return journey. See, God has an expectation with respect to the church. Can I raise the bar?
Yes, amen.
It's the church's responsibility to get the church to the final destination. Because it's the church's responsibility to draw the water.
Amen.
And to give it to the camels in this case. Come on.
Yes, that's right.
What is the camel?
Yes.
Camels are beasts of burden, right?
They stop them.
They're typical of many things, but they're the elements of which we are currently subject to.
Yes, that's right.
And the means of which we have to work in. But God is using it to bring forth perfection.
Amen.
In His people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In other words, God speaks to me to go to Ethiopia. It now becomes my responsibility to get on the plane. Right?
Yeah.
Buy the ticket. Get on the plane. 25 hours later, get off the plane and do whatever is required of me in that place of destination. You understand what I'm saying? I have to work within the confines that limit me. So the camel speaks of these elements of this world that we are yet subject to.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
So there's a necessity to replenish the reserve capacity so that the other half of the journey can be finished. Come on. Hallelujah. So that speaks of our resources, whatever it is between you and God. Hallelujah. Alright, so the 10 camels, 10 in the significance of the golden half shekel golden earring and the discernment. So that leaves 10, yet another 10 of weight, shekel weight, in the form of the bracelets, right, that are put upon the hand. Hallelujah. By the way, if you take the 10, 10, 10, and you add them up, you get 30. Where else do you find 30? In the tabernacle.
The length of the tabernacle.
It's the length of the sanctuary. Come on. Remember, the height was 10 cubits.
Yeah.
And the width of it is 20 cubits. Is that right? Yeah.
10.
Is it, the
ten.
Width is 10?
10. 10 and 10.
Times 1.5 plus half each side.
Okay, 10 cubits, but it's 30 in length, right? Hallelujah. 30 is the number of maturity, right? David was 30 years old when he began to reign. Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's also the length of the apostolic rod. Come on. That starts at the door and runs the whole length to the back wall of the sanctuary. Hallelujah. So you see, there's a necessity of all three in the aspect of 10 and 10 in order to come to 30. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the bracelets they're not, they're more than just jewelry and something that you can put on to make you look nice, but it defines the specificness and the designation as far as the hand. Right? What does it say here in the 24th chapter? Let's back up a little bit. Verse 18, and she said, drink, my Lord, and she hastened, and she let down her pitcher, where? Upon her hand, and gave him drink. Hallelujah. You see, the golden earring, the golden bracelet, so there's 10 shekel weight, and they were one for each arm, wrist. That would make them five each. Five shekel weight each. Come on. Five is the number of what? Ministry. And the golden, it being gold in nature, it speaks about the absolute dedication of the ministry of the hand of which it has been appointed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about your own body and the activity of your day. What member of your body is predominantly used in what you do?
Your hand.
This is not your hand? Hallelujah. As it is in the natural, so shall it be in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is that designation that is defined by that bracelet for the function of the hand. Okay? Hallelujah. But the hand is attached to the arm, which is also attached to the shoulder. Is it not so? Hallelujah. But in God's mind, the shoulder, the operation of the shoulder and the arm is secondary to the operation of the hand. Hallelujah. But all of them are subject to the head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because there's that operation of which the shoulder has to get under the burden and begin to carry the load. But it's to the operation of the ministry that God has set in the body by which the directives come, and because of that flow, the rest of it should just follow in the doing of what needs to be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the second thing that the church is to discern after she discerns who she is then to discern the ministry that is among her. Hallelujah. How do we know this? Because when you stand in the outer court and you want to go through the next
actually, you know what? Do we have something else here?
Hey, what is this?
Okay, good.
Very good. This is our destination, right? Holy of holies. Holy place. Outer court. Church is birthed when we come through the gate. As Brother George was exhorting us last night. There, here at the brazen altar, brazen labor. Hallelujah. The second thing where she should is to discern is the ministry that God has set in the midst. And that is defined here by the posts that are set in the midst of the door. Hallelujah. This is the door. This is called the gate. Right? Hallelujah. And it is God's intention that as we interact with each piece of furniture, it is to bring us to the next step, the next stage, the next phase of development. Hallelujah. With the intention that we should arrive here in the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we have set in the midst of the door these five pillars. And the truth of the matter is that we cannot enter through that door without also going in between the pillars. There's no way around it. Hallelujah. And if we do not have respect for the pillars that are in the door, we can also conclude that we will not be able, we will not have the door itself.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Imagine your life without a hand. Now you can function to some degree, but you're going to be what? Handicapped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But see, it is, God has no desire in that His church should be handicapped. But it should be whole and complete and functioning in divine order.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when Eleazar gave to Rebekah these bracelets, it was defining a particular order of which is in his heart for how the church should be.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Because we understand in Ephesians chapter 4 that the church cannot come to a place of fullness except for by the ministry of which he is placed in the midst.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. I think we touched a little bit on who the church is, who she is, and what is her purpose. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.